Good afternoon, everyone. So today is December 2nd, and it's National Women's Brain Health Day, which is what today's podcast will be all about. So let's jump right into the first question. So what is dementia and what is Alzheimer's?
This is Grant speaking. To everyone, happy International Women's Brain Health Day. Alzheimer's disease is a type of dementia. Dementia is a syndrome or group of symptoms. Dementia in itself isn't a disease. It refers to symptoms that can be caused by many different diseases or changes in someone's body. Alzheimer's disease is one of the diseases that cause dementia. Dementia affects how you learn new information, how you remember information, how you think, and other symptoms. Alzheimer's disease is the most common type of dementia. It accounts for about two-thirds of dementias. Dementias that look similar to Alzheimer's disease are called related dementias. You can learn lots and lots about Alzheimer's disease and dementias on the Canadian Mental Health Association site, CMHA. They have buttons to click that say what it is, who does it affect, could I have Alzheimer's disease, what can I do about it, tips for families and loved ones, what are related dementias, where can we go from here? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing, Grant. Now, how can we maybe avoid or delay the onset of Alzheimer's?
It's very difficult to delay the onset of Alzheimer's. The scientists, the doctors are working very hard as we speak to try to come up with ways to slow the progression of this disease, which kills brain cells and eventually kills people. What we can do with those who have Alzheimer's disease is counter what they suffer from. And some of the things these dementia sufferers have are extreme sadness, feelings of hopelessness, disinterest in people and previously enjoyed activities, irritability, anxiety, feelings of suspicion or paranoia, sleep disturbances, agitation, pacing, immobility, delusions, hallucinations, etc. So we have to think in terms of opposites. By looking at the negatives, we can look at the positives. And they often, I've thought about this, remind me of our clubhouse culture at Donald Berman Uphouse, because an Alzheimer's sufferer needs stimuli and stimulus. They need bright colors around them. They need to feel hopeful. So there must be connectedness and encouragement. If there's disinterest in previously enjoyed activities, they need to be engaged to choose activities which now may be of interest. Perhaps they never had such interest. Perhaps their interest was painting, but all of a sudden they're now very interested in cooking. Some Alzheimer's facilities have community cooking. If there's irritability, there have to be ways to teach in a social setting where relationships can develop, ways to naturally relax. And these are the things that are said to slow the progression of Alzheimer's. The last thing someone with Alzheimer's disease needs is to be put in, for example, a small gray-walled room and left to sit isolated. we need to think in terms of opposites. Thank you.
Thank you, Grant. Yeah, I do completely agree with the last thing you said, that the last thing they want is to, you know, be in four, in a room with four walls and not have any help, I guess. And how can we maybe manage it?
It can be managed with certain medications.
Okay.
Some of them are experimental. And it can be managed through having a support network. Now, it depends on the progression of Alzheimer's. If people are autonomous, living at their home, and have Alzheimer's disease starting, which is early onset Alzheimer's, well, it's important for the support system of that person, individual, to be very mindful and connect with them on a regular basis, engage them on a regular basis. Sometimes it takes a little persuasion. Come on, let's go see a movie. Come on, let's go to the museum. And they need to have understanding people, not people who admonish them for being forgetful. How could you forget? Well, we know how people with Alzheimer's disease and other dementias can forget. It's part of the disease. Thanks.
Right. So those sound like great ways to manage it. And I see you did speak a little bit about medication. So would that be like a possible treatment for Alzheimer's patients?
There's no treatment to date.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And now, can we just speak a little bit about the similarities and differences of dementia and mental health?
Certainly. Alzheimer's disease is the most common form of dementia. I mentioned that earlier.
Right.
So it causes cells in the brain responsible for controlling memory to die. These cells die. This is not the case with mental illness. Now, it's true that dementia does affect mental health, but it isn't a mental illness per se. Rather, it's a brain disease. There's some crossover between Alzheimer's disease and mental illness. This is where it can become complicated, because as Alzheimer's progresses, the Alzheimer-affected individual may begin to experience such things as depression, which is a mental illness, late-onset bipolar, and late-onset schizophrenia. Now, it's all agreed that depression, bipolar, and schizophrenia are mental illnesses. But again, the Alzheimer's is a disease, and the byproduct, as the disease progresses and the brain cells die, is possibilities of the individual affected to manifest what appears to be mental illness characteristics. But there is a difference, and there are similarities, as we just went over. So thank you.
Okay, thank you, Grant, for informing us a little bit about this topic. So women are disproportionately more affected by dementia than men. Does anyone have anything to say about this or any other topic that we discussed today?
Hello, I just wanted to say something.
Yes, go ahead,
Lisa. So from my understanding, Alzheimer's and dementia are very similar, right?
Right. So as we had discussed, Alzheimer's is a form of dementia. So dementia is more of the umbrella term, and Alzheimer's falls under the category of a type of dementia.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
No problem. Would anyone else like to comment on this? Yes, Heidi, go ahead.
I'm just thinking about the senior people that with Alzheimer's that I used to visit.
Okay.
And one of the things that really is beneficial is music. A lot of these people remember old songs, and it's good for them to be able to sing. And another thing is you can go in with pets, and they can caress them, and they can interact with them, and it's very beneficial for them. Thank you.
That's great, Heidi. Thank you for informing us on that. How about anyone else? Any other input? Yes, Imad, go ahead.
So today is Women's Day, right?
That's Women's it? Brain Health Day, yes, Brain December Day. 2nd.
So how come men are asked to answer questions for that? Should be only for women, no?
I think everyone, male or female, can have an opinion on this, not necessarily just women.
So I'm happy that women almost became the vice president of the USA, right? So I'm very proud of that.
Okay. Thank you for sharing, Imad.
Sure.
Yes, Alex, go ahead.
Yeah, so the neighborhood that I live in the West Island has a nursing home for people with Alzheimer's right down my street. And it's a very nice area for them to be at because there's a lot of services nearby. The place always looks very busy. And also there's a nice wooded forest around that so they can enjoy nature. I think it's important to be in a nice environment to get better.
I completely agree with that, Alex. Thank you for sharing.
I have a question. Maybe Grant can answer this. At what age do women start to have the symptoms of Alzheimer's or dementia? At what point would the age category be?
Well, from the research I looked at, Christine, the risk of developing Alzheimer's disease or related dementia does increase with age. It affects about 1 in 11 people over the age of 65, but increases to 1 in 3 people over the age of 85. And we've previously discussed that women have a greater risk of developing Alzheimer's disease or related dementia. That's the answer to your question.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for that, Grant.
I have one more question.
Go ahead, Christine.
Grant, what are the symptoms of these diseases? I can't recall if you've mentioned that or not.
Symptoms are as follows: extreme sadness, feelings of hopelessness, disinterest in people and previously enjoyed activities, irritability, anxiety about change, going out of the house, strangers, etc., feelings of suspicion or paranoia, sleep disturbances, agitation, restlessness, increased aggression, pacing, immobility, delusions, hallucinations, verbal or physical abusiveness, and refusal to cooperate. From my research, that's what I have.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your answer.
Thank you, Grant. So we do have 30 seconds left, so we will end it on this note. Thank you, everyone, for participating and sharing your thoughts, your opinions, and your input. On behalf of staff, members, and interns, we wish you a meaningful International Women's Brain Health Day. And I hope you all have a great day.